There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And just like it was last hour, and like it's been for 15 years, tomorrow, our 15th birthday for the radio station. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106, also for the text line. And remember, if you're running the FM Talk 106.5 app, you have yet a third option. You can leave us one of those talkback messages by using the microphone icon on the front page of the app there. If you press that, let's you record the message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right. And I am watching what's going on at Mobile City Council. We were told earlier that the city council was holding off for the time being on the vote to terminate the police chief. John Sharp had talked about that. And then getting an update here, the council members, so I thought they had adjourned. So they're meeting, they were meeting in a committee to discuss the investigation. Now it looks like the council members are going back and forth on this, and Councilman Dave suggesting he's being bullied for bullied into voting for an investigation that he doesn't support. You heard some of that last hour when I played the audio from the pre-council meeting. We'll give you an update here as it goes through this hour. So they're still working on, and for the city council to still be meeting it after 1 o'clock on a council meeting day is different. This is different for sure. All right, and as I get into this next segment here, first of all, let me say first up, a big thank you to April Marie Fogle for filling in for me on Friday. She joins us now on a Tuesday. Hey, April Marie, thanks for the fill-in.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it a lot.
Was everybody behaved generally, or how did it work?
Generally speaking, everybody was nice. I'm trying to think. I think I got one anti-Trump message, but nobody told me to go pound sand, so I consider that a good day.
Okay. Well, and listen, as time goes on, you'll get those as well. That's just their way of welcoming you in. It's okay. All right.
Well, you know, I did make fun of you and Jeff a good bit, and I pointed out that, you know, that it was between the three of us.
What? The making fun of?
I'm sorry?
You made fun of me? How'd you possibly pull that off?
Well, you know, I just pointed out that that all things being equal, they should be nice to me because the alternative was that it would be you, and you know, they get you all the time.
That's okay. Well, I'll take that. That's fair enough. All right. You and I texted last night about the what's going on in college campuses. So yesterday it was kind of a tale of two cities, right? I'm looking at Austin. And the law enforcement, they're rounding up the protesters in Austin. And then I look in New York at Columbia and the tent cities there and the kids, I guess they were really the threat there wasn't NYPD as much as the fact that they would be suspended from Columbia. They don't get to finish the semester or something like that.
It's ridiculous that these colleges are entertaining these kids. Columbia has gotten somewhat out of hand. They've gotten out of hand. They've started blocking things on campuses, keeping Jewish students from taking the paths through their encampment. Real pieces of work. Did you see the Texas hog tie, where they hog tied one of the protesters and carried them out, lifted them up?
No, I did not see that. Did they do it in, I mean, did you time them? You know, I mean, with rodeo, you know, it's a timed event there for calf roping.
You know what? That's what they should do. do. And they should do that all around the nation. In Arizona, they sent frat boys. Like, the police moved in, and then they got a fraternity to come in and tear down the encampment. And I feel like we could get some good KA boys from colleges around Alabama and the Southeast who would volunteer to get on buses and go destroy these encampments.
Right. Listen, young mush brain guys, will tell them to destroy things. They will. They do it with great glee, especially if you put a keg there at the event and say, hey, it's free beer and tear down the thing. Now, the problem is getting them to clean up. I don't know if you've ever watched the aftermath of a, you know, like on a Sunday morning in Tuscaloosa, the cleanup is not always the strong suit for them.
Yeah, well, they were, I think they were really enjoying their role in Arizona, and that hog tying and bringing in frat boys, I believe, for these states that really don't know what to do with themselves, as opposed to appeasing these absolute little babies who don't even know what they're protesting, most of them. I think that's the solution.
Well, I want to point out, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but here's a story, y'all, that who's on their side? And people said, Sean, look at all the green-hatted people there and the legal people and the people that are, backing these protesters at these college campuses. Let me also add this name to the people to the names of the people that are backing the protesters. Story came out, I guess, late last week that y'all remember this, and I know for some of my friends out there, y'all that were in theater, you remember this name at a level the rest of us won't even. Iraqi religious leader Muqtada el-Sadr, like Sadr City, over the weekend expressed his support for pro-Palestinian encampments at universities in the United States and called for an end of the police action against them. Sadr said in a statement, "We call for a halt to the crackdown on the voices advocating for peace and freedom," April Marie. He goes on to say, "The voice of American universities demanding an end to Zionist terrorism is our voice." So they're backed by Muqtada el-Sadr. who, by the way, if you don't remember, you go back in your history. Some of y'all remember it so very, very much, and maybe daily, what he led, and the number of Americans that were attacked by people that were led by Muqtada el-Sadr, whether it was up front or with IEDs and guerrilla activities. Yeah, that guy says he stands with the protesters at those schools. So there you go.
And I love the idea that peace is what they want. Hamas and these terrorists all around the world, for that matter, who hate Jewish people, and finally are getting their moment. All they want is peace. And in order to achieve peace, all they want to do is destroy Israel and everyone in it and everyone around the globe who supports it. That's all. They're just peaceful people, Sean.
Well, what I would like is I am for peace. But my question has been, maybe we could take it to the next level with these kids and say, all right, can Gaza govern itself? Right. I know that's not the very binary back and forth. Good guys, bad guys, good guys, bad guys. But what do you do? Yeah, Israel cannot let a group of terrorists like Hamas attack them. Even if you say, well, look at the history leading up to that. Even with the history leading up to that, you can't let somebody attack your people. Now, you got to go into Gaza and do this. Now, what do you do? Is there any belief with these kids that Gaza can take back over, with Palestinians running it and everything will be fine? That's the question I'd like to ask. What should Israel have done? And what should they do going forward?
These kids, on college campuses, they have no idea what has been tried. They don't know the history of this conflict, and they don't know the people. Every time I see an LGBTQ for Hamas, Palestine, I go, do you really understand what would happen if you went there? I saw a sign yesterday, and it was, let's trade 100 pro-Palestine supporter college kids for one of the people being held by Hamas. Let's trade them. And I think that would be fine. Let's see if these Hamas supporters, these student who are chanting, by the way, they'll say, oh, it's for Palestine, not Hamas. But you listen to their chants and they're very hateful. I think that what we do is we go ahead and say, look, we will all rally. We will buy you a one-way ticket. You go over there and help these people. Because these people, a lot of them are who were chanting up and down the streets as people were kidnapped and murdered and raped. This is not what they think it is.
You know, I wonder if the same is true, the flip side. So if the, and I've heard this from the protesters, that they are supporting Palestinian people, which, you know, I can see some of that. They're not supporting Hamas, but you listen to the language they use. Then why would they block somebody who is Jewish from entering a class, right? They're blocking the way they get into class and this and that. They're not IDF. They're not. They're I'm going to guess the majority of them, if not all of them, are Americans. They're Jewish. So if Hamas doesn't mean Palestinian, Palestinian doesn't mean Hamas, why does being Jewish mean IDF to them?
That's a very good question. And likely they could not explain that. And they, but they've gotten to where, so yes, we saw the video. And if you guys missed it, there's video of a student wearing the Star of David who was blocked from campus. At Northwestern University, they had a sign that had the Star of David like crossed out. And they say, if you're a Zionist, they want you dead. They want you gone. You can't come through. That's one of the questions. Do you support Israel's right to exist? And if you do, you're not allowed in some of these schools to cross by what the land they've taken over, to get into the dining hall, to get to the library. And this is happening on our campuses. And then these administrators are folding. I mean, like the cheap tents themselves, they are folding and giving in to these kids. I saw a statement from the University of Florida yesterday, and it was like, we are not babysitters. We are not going to allow this. This is criminal. You will be kicked off our campus. You will be suspended or expelled from school. Go away.
You wonder if they're going to say this is different, right? They're going to say we're kicked out of here because we're protesting the United States, support for Israel, go down the list. If they were protesting the fact that there's a writer's strike for Sesame Street right now, which I don't know if you've seen, if they're protesting that and it had kept people out of school, had taken over property, encampment, even if they were protesting, you know, some new flavor of spiced Coca-Cola, eventually the university is going to remove them.
Yes, here's the thing: is they're protesting for Big Bird, PBS funding, any number of things. I just feel like the hate wouldn't be in the air. That's what gets me about these protests. It is the visceral hate. There's a number of people in these encampments who are just along for the ride, but then there's a number of people in these encampments who genuinely believe Israel should be taken away from the Jewish people. And I can't see how these campuses can look around and you frame this any other way and allow this to continue.
April Marie, people want to further this conversation. I know you're off your hiatus from social media, so you're on X, right? People can talk to you over there.
Yeah, you can catch me on Facebook and on Twitter at April Marie, APRYLMARIE.
Very good. And have you shared that video of the hog tying or the calf roping event there?
I think I bookmarked it. I'll share that for you.
All right, good stuff. We'll check it out there. And April Marie, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, there goes April Marie Fogle, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Run to a presser going on right now. Speaker for right now, House Speaker Mike Johnson, said the House is going to have a crackdown on campus anti-Semitism. He's now turned it over to Elise Stefanik, who's speaking right now. Let's go to that. Let's see. Okay, run to that. Good, here it is.
Flying pro-Hamas signs and damaging property. Joe Biden, far-left Democrat governors like my home state in New York, and morally bankrupt university leaders have allowed this moral rot of anti-Semitism to fester, refusing to enforce the laws and refusing to ensure the safety of Jewish students. And it's not just Columbia. This is a moral rot that has taken root across American higher education institutions. At Yale University, a Jewish student was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flag. At the University of Southern California, graduation was canceled due to the university being unable to guarantee the safety of students. Jewish students were barricaded at the library at Cooper Union. At my alma mater, Harvard University, a Palestinian flag was hoisted at University Hall, where the American flag always flies, in clear violation of university policies. There are dozens of these anti-Semitic encampments across the country. These mobs are breaking university rules, leading to the targeting and harassment of Jewish students and faculty. In December, at a hearing chaired by our Education and Workforce Chairwoman Virginia Fox, we exposed just how ingrained anti-Semitism has become at America's so-called elite institutions in higher education. When I question the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate your university's code of conduct? One after the other said it depends on the context. And the world heard it is now the most viewed congressional testimony in history. 8 days ago, I was the first member of Congress to demand that Columbia President Shafik resign for her failure to disband the anti-Semitic mob consuming Columbia's campus and her failure to ensure the safety of Columbia's Jewish students. Instead, she negotiated with these self-proclaimed terrorists, allowing their anti-Semitic mob to grow. Enough is enough. It is time to restore law and order, academic integrity, and moral decency to America's higher education institutions. Joe Biden has been deafeningly silent. So I want to thank again the Speaker, as well as all of our chairs, who will ensure this is a top priority for House Republicans. There can be no moral equivalency. It is time to send a clear message to the world that anti-Semitism has no place in America. The world is indeed watching. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our whip, Tom Emmer.
Thank you, Lisa. Our House Republican Conference is here today to deliver a message to the pro-terrorist anti-Semites taking over our college campuses. We're here to deliver a message to the university administrators who have chosen to be complicit in these movements for hate rather than taking action. And we're here to deliver a message to Hamas, Iran, and members of the squad, including my Minnesota colleague Ilhan Omar, who have all endorsed these anti-Semitic protests, that enough is enough. Accountability is here. Our college campuses should never be breeding grounds for anti-Semitism. Yet that is exactly what they have become. Why? Because of university administrators who have refused to protect their Jewish students. Because of faculty members who have enabled the wave of anti-Semitic violence. Because of an administration that has tried to play both sides of this issue. And because of far-left members of Congress who are applauding anti-Semitism on college campuses. In other words, it's because we have a bunch of adults in a room who are refusing to be the adults in the room. While no one else is standing up to lead during this pivotal moment in history, House Republicans will. I want to thank Speaker Johnson and our committee chairs for providing much-needed accountability on an issue that has been met with a disturbing amount of indifference and even encouragement from the people who are supposed to keep our students safe. The world is watching to see how we respond, and I, for one, am grateful to be part of a conference that will be on the right side of history. And with that, I turn it over to our leader, Steve Scalise.
Thank you, Whip. Since October 7th, when a terrorist organization backed by Iran, known as Hamas, invaded Israel, you have seen a growing wave of anti-Semitism. Obviously, in Israel, we saw a war declared on them. And Israel said, we're going to defend our state. And you saw, by the way, these colleagues here and so many of my House colleagues stand and say, we support Israel's right to defend themselves as a Jewish state. But something else alarming that you started to see happen after that is when we started taking action here. And that is when you started seeing anti-Semitism grow here in the United States, here on college campuses, and in fact, here on the House floor by some of our colleagues on the other side. And we've been speaking out against it vocally. This is an area where you have to learn from the mistakes of history, because if you don't learn from the mistakes of history, we're all doomed to repeat it. Let's not forget what happened in the lead up to World War II. And so when you see some of the things that these, whether you call them terrorist sympathizers, anarchists, they're organized. When they show up and they all have the same kind of tents, when they all are from out of state in many of these places where they're showing up, it's an organized mob trying to ensue chaos and breed anti-Semitism. And if we don't stand up against it every place we see it, and more importantly, if we don't call on those people whose main job is to protect the people that they're tasked with looking over. Look at these college presidents. You know, and we're asking all of our committee chairs to look into the billions of federal taxpayer dollars that go to these universities. And part of the reason that goes to these universities is so they can provide a good education for their students, so they can provide a safe environment for their students. And if these presidents won't provide that safe environment, then those university presidents need to go.
There we go. So that's what's going on in Washington right now. You heard Scalise speaking there. Come back and get your comments from the text line and the telephone at 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Well, it's turned out to be a pretty darn nice Tuesday, but I don't know how it was at your house last night and this morning, but got plenty of rain. Talking to my buddy Blaine Price from Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. It gets me thinking here, right? It rained. Grass was already growing pretty good, but after that rain last night, you could hear the grass growing right now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we definitely got the rain over here in Robertsdale, and especially the way the sun's starting to poke out over here in Robertsdale, that water dries up, that grass is going to be growing.
So this is a good time to talk about the zero-turn mowers. It's 0-0, right? Y'all got 0% financing on zero-turn mowers.
That's right. That's right. Zero-interest financing through Kubota on all of our zero-turns. It was actually on all of our tractors, zero-turns, side-by-side construction equipment. But yes, the zero-turns, we got plenty of those in stock right now, all the way from homeowners and, you know, 42-inch zero-turns all the way up to 72-inch diesel mowers. So a little bit of everything, and that'll meet everybody's needs. We've got it here in stock in Robertsdale.
Yeah, y'all think about the wider the mowing deck, the more of your life you get back for doing other things.
That's right.
You know, I want to talk also about y'all's rental equipment, because I started thinking about this is a time of year, I mean, for all different kind of projects, but even like people that have property that hunt that property when, you know, turkey season will be over here in 7 days or so, 8 days. Maybe they're going to get to some of those mulcher projects or working on their roads or something like that. You got the equipment they need for that.
Absolutely. So we in our rental, we've got a little bit of everything. We've got, you know, from your guys that are wanting to do a bunch of dirt work with skid steers or tractors. We got tractors, skid steers, excavators. But on the skid steers, we got a ton of attachments to go with them. You know, whether it be post hole drivers, post hole diggers, post drivers, cutters to go on the front of these cab skid steers, and you know, we got the tractors. The man lives a little bit of everything.
You've got, what was the, you got the one that you can, it's like a smaller trencher though. I mean, that you can use, like if somebody's got maybe just a weekend project, it doesn't, you don't always have to have the biggest one.
No. We're not just dealing with people that have, you know, are doing it for a living. It's the weekend project to knock it out your house. You know, you don't need to buy a brand new tractor or brand new skid steer just because you got one project. We rent it, you know, rent for the weekend, for the day, or for the month. But a ton of different attachments with trenchers and a little bit of everything. So any type of project you got at the house, you know, we have the equipment to satisfy your needs of getting it done a lot easier and a lot quicker.
Well, whether they're going to buy a piece of equipment or rent it, tell them how to get in touch with you at Parrish Tractor.
Yeah, so come see us. We're right here on Highway 59 in the middle of town in Robertsdale. Or you can call us 251-947-4171. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturdays from 8 till noon.
Good stuff, Blaine. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes, my man Blaine Price over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. To the text line here, and let's see how many. Gosh, there's a lot to get to. Yeah, Jason had said earlier when I guess April Marie and I were talking, he said not just KA fraternity will help, but Kappa Sigma will too in shutting down the protesters. The King of all unnamed texters said, I wonder if any protesters convert to Islam. Yeah, who knows? They're young. I would like to know if they have a more nuanced discussion there just of, you know, good guys, bad guys, because I see it from the other side too, where it's Israel's never done anything wrong and everything's okay. No, I think there is a nuanced discussion to have here. But what would you have Israel do? That would be my question. What should they do? Should they just let people just commit terrorism in their country, attack their people, and not go respond to it? So then you'll say, okay, well, there's too much of a response. It's pretty heavy-handed. And listen, there's a lot of civilians that have been killed in this, Palestinians. So how do you mitigate that? I don't know. Do you stop? Because if you stop, Hamas is not going away. Remember, Hamas leadership is still, I think they're still in Qatar, right? I don't know if they're still at the Four Seasons. For a while, they were kicking it down at the Four Seasons. Until you take out the leadership, I would rather see, which I'm not calling on us to do that anything that's, you know, unconstitutional or illegal, but sure, rather see the leadership taken out than innocent Palestinians, right? So as you're getting to Hamas, go get the head of the snake while you're at it, too. Terry said the Israelis weren't ready for what they needed to do in Gaza. They need to take it, break it, and build it back. They got the first two down, but now they got lost in the rebuild part. As soon as they secured an area, they should be rebuilding. But what danger is it at that point, too, right? So, Terry, if I am counterinsurgency in Gaza and Israelis go in there and they're doing a rebuild, right? But I want to make sure I'm Hamas. I want to make sure I keep the people, hamstrung and on my side. You think you're rebuilding efforts? You're going to have to have a whole bunch of IDF troops around that rebuild, because I'm going to come in there and bomb you and snipe you and do everything to keep you from rebuilding the thing. And even at that point, this is what I'm always looking for next steps, like I have for Ukraine. I will here as well. But what do you do with Gaza? So if they go in there, Terry, as you said, they go in there and they take an area and they air quotes here, clear Hamas out of the area. They go to rebuild there. Do you then occupy that for the next five lifetimes? Or who do you turn it over to? Okay. And what means that Hamas won't come back in some other form? So, but if you're going to occupy it, what is that like? If you are a Palestinian and all you know is Israel's this enemy, right? And you've heard this forever. And then Israel came in and destroyed your neighborhood, maybe killed a family member, maybe killed a friend, something like that. Are you going to all of a sudden say, well, I guess, gee Williker, guys, you're great, and I'm going to be on your side now? Whether you could be hollering at the radio, but Israel's right, okay. But that's idealism versus pragmatism. In a pragmatic world, do you think the population in Gaza, the Palestinians in Gaza, will go, well, I'm sure glad we were shown the right way, like it's some kind of sitcom at the end of it, going, geez, Dad, I'm glad you showed me how to do it right, and I won't ever do that again. I mean, really? So with all the things we talk about today going on with it, and I think this is a very specific move that Republicans are making, and a good one, that we're not going to tolerate, we're not going to taxpayer incentivize by money going through these schools to pay for people to be not just questioning policy, but to be anti-Semitic. So I agree with where they're going on this. And I think it is in their hearts. I think it's also going to be politically expedient, because they're making the argument that not getting anything from the Biden administration, even though the Biden administration, what a pickle they're in, right? They come out to help Israel and they get all this pushback from the left flank. So then they kind of scoot over towards the left flank of the Democrats, which are way out at Neptune. They scoot over there, and the next thing they do, they lose people that are more moderate Democrats. So as a political tool, the Republicans have something here. But back to the nuts and bolts of this, when this finishes, and like I asked on yesterday's show, do we see peace in Ukraine between Ukraine and Russia first, or do we see peace in the Israel-Gaza region first? But the next and the next and the next steps are, to me, what we should be looking at the same time. Say Israel wins the war, which of course they will. IDF wins the war. Then what next? Do you occupy the place? Do you turn it back over? Because those people, if you're occupying, the people aren't going to, they're not going to appreciate you. Not going to appreciate you. I don't know. Grant says maybe universities could learn something from our mounted police during Mardi Gras for crowd control and our cousins over in New Orleans. They could show them how to use horses to clear a group of people quickly. Yeah, that would work. It's interesting, even though you have officers and deputies at Mardi Gras that are armed and you have helmets on and batons and all that stuff. People kind of get out of their way, but let a horse come through and everybody's moving. But I don't know what... I think this colleges have a right at a certain point. Like I did for satirical effect, but seriously, if they were out protesting that there were, that the writer's strike for Sesame Street was out there, at a certain point, after weeks, after months, a university has to be able to say, okay, y'all got to go to class. You can't block people who don't like Sesame Street or whatever it is from going in. And then they're going to get the additional pressure, as you hear right now. And they're looking at UNC, I guess that's UNC Chapel Hill protests going on there. You see the wheels of government moving, and what the Republicans are saying now is like, hey, we're not going to continue to fund taxpayer money into these schools to have this going on. And the interesting thing, too, is it has definitely turned about being anti-Semitic, not even in policy. And when you have Muqtada al-Jidi Sadr, you put me down as undecided on how I feel about al-Sadr, when he's saying, this is the story I read earlier, this came out over the weekend, Iraqi religious leader Muqtada al-Sadr on Saturday expressed his support for pro-Palestinian encampments at universities in the United States and called for an end to the police action against him. Of course he does. That doesn't surprise me that he did, but I just want to see who you're aligned with here. Muqtada al-Sadr said, we call for a halt to the crackdown on voices advocating for peace and freedom. What kind of dissent voice do you think is allowed in any kind of the neighborhoods that the al-Sadr wing controls in Iraq, which al-Sadr is way aligned with Iran, was way back even during the war, right? He's Iraqi in name only, or whatever somebody find what's the acronym? Iraqi in name only. INO, whatever. He's one of those. Said the voice of American universities demanding the end to Zionist terrorism is our voice. So how would it work if we had Iraqi or Iranians? Remember what happened during the Green Revolution? And they weren't even specifically saying something to support the United States. They were just there asking maybe for some kind of freedoms and stuff. How did Iran deal with that? Tell you what, they didn't sit there and go, I don't know if we should bring the police in to move the encampment or not. Remember what happened during the Green Revolution? So do I think that there is and it puts me at odds, I know, with a lot of people that are on the conservative side, that I don't see this as Israel has done everything perfectly the whole time. I don't think so. But what else are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to allow attacks? Are they supposed to not respond to attacks? And they have to get Hamas out of control in Gaza. But then, of course, that begs that question, what do you do next? What do you do going forward? C.B. Carl said, Terry's plan that we mentioned earlier, Terry's talking about the rebuild, Terry's plan is the kind of plan that has gotten a lot of CBs killed. Well, I would worry about on the rebuild thing, too. And just the number of forces you would have to... I don't know. I mean, this is the next step there. And I don't know if I've heard great answers on that, but we'll get them from you. I don't know if it'll be great, but hopefully they will when we return at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday segment of the show brought to you by my man Forrest over at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Gosh, he's got a lot going on. On the new boat incentives going on right now, continuing on Regulator, Jupiter, Solace, Albemarle, Bulls Bay for the inshore boats. Got that going on, continued. So they're making great deals on the new boats. And while you're at it, if you got a high-end used boat, you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to move into my next boat. I get it. Think about using the brokerage services at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. So bring your current boat to them. Let them see what they can do for you in the brokerage market, getting it sold while you check out the incentives on your next boat. Check that out as well. And if you're going to keep the one you got, service department, of course, is a big thing at Blue Water Yacht Sales. So you're looking at a master tech on staff, five-star Yamaha service. They've got all the Yamaha parts, all the Yamaha, the Yamaha lube, all the everything that's OEM, right, for your engine. They've got it. And so if you're doing, you're just backing it in there, getting them to do the work, they're ready to do that. Get your boat ready for, what is it, the 24th? We're less than a month away from the start of snapper season. Come on, y'all. Get that work done now. And if you do your own service work, as I do on occasion, you need to talk to Kelsey in the parts department. She is a guru when it comes to everything for your Yamaha and your Mercury outboards as well. So check her out in parts as well. It's Blue Water Yacht Sales. Great deals on brand new boats, brokerage services for your current boat, or update marine outboard work. They do that every day at Blue Water Yacht Sales. So check them out online at bluewateryachtsales.net or you give a call, 476-2699. I might be sliding over there today for us, so I might get some pictures of some of those gorgeous boats. They're on the lot at Blue Water Yacht Sales. All right, to 154, let's see. That's the noise I make when I'm stalling. Terry says these organized events at college campuses are the products of the Iran-China-Russia propaganda machine. Most of the protesters or organizers aren't students. You know. So I've looked into that too, Terry, because there's a mix. There definitely are people that are coming in from elsewhere, professional rabble-rousers. But the things I've seen and kind of like the there's the news accounts, and then you can watch people that I feel are fair arbiters on places like X or on YouTube, that they're definitely, some of these are students there for sure. And listen, they're going to do what they're going to do. And then we should react and stop the funding then. Cause we would do the same thing, right? We would do the same thing. We would work if we had a chance to sow dissent, which we do, but if we had a chance to do it specifically like this, to sow dissent and list those countries, Iran, China, and Russia, we absolutely would. And we probably have, and probably currently are. It's the game that's played. But this is our country. And I think at least what I've heard so far coming from the Republicans in the House saying that they're going to move to, you know, hold back the money because the House holds the purse strings, remember? Hold back money that goes to these universities that continue to allow what's not just a policy disagreement, right? This has become straight up anti-Semitic, which is what I'd like to ask the protesters. If your issue is, if you say, well, you know, all the Palestinians aren't in Hamas, I would agree you're correct. You're correct. And there are innocent people that have been killed in Gaza with the IDF response there. I think that is completely true. At the same time, then, if you believe, then, protesters, that all the Palestinians aren't Hamas, but they're suffering, so you're protesting, blocking the door, screaming in the face of people because they're Jewish? Are they an IDF soldier? No? Oh, then are they Israeli? Well, no, they're American. Then what are you doing? You're just being anti-Semitic. Jason says the protesting loons call for the ceasefire, refuse to acknowledge there was one in place until Hamas terrorists broke it. Superbomb said, I did see the hogtied fellow being carried off in Austin, but why, for the most part, are the authorities being so gentle with these protesters that are shouting death to America and removing the American flag and raising the Palestinian flag? Why do protesters' tents match? Who gave them the tents? Who is funding this? Soros? This is literally unnerving me. Which is, you know, by design, right?
is by design. Two things. Keep them from hurting, blocking, injuring Jewish students or those that support them. Do that. Use your property rights to move them along and move on. This is supposed to unnerve you. Don't let them unnerve you. It doesn't mean don't stop pushing back. Push back figuratively. Or if you're law enforcement, unfortunately, y'all got to push back literally. But push back. But don't let it unnerve you. Know what's going on here. CB Carl, a lot of these students are useful idiots. Sure. Listen, when you're that age, you want to see change in the world. You want to see change in the world. I get that. Couldn't they find something else? Couldn't they be protesting for clean water, clean air? Couldn't they protest for fiscal austerity in the federal budget? Okay, that's not going to happen. But couldn't they pick something like that to get behind? Or if they were talking about peace, if they said, hey, our issue is we want to see peace in the Middle East. We want to see peace in Ukraine. I could say these kids are onto something. It's not what's happening there. All right, tomorrow we're 15, by the way, our 15th birthday here at FM Talk 106.5, which oddly enough also starts the voting in the nappies for 2024. We're in tons of categories. Make sure to vote early and often, or as much as you can get away with. Talk about that tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum on the way next.